Welcome to A Closer Look. I'm Ellen Lockyer. Energy and efforts to harness it drives the economy. Energy development provides the bulk of Alaska's revenue and by extension influences state decisions. Today, we are going to take a closer look at one of Alaska's most abundant energy resources, coal. Plans to develop that coal have sparked contention in recent months. At the present time, there are four areas within the Matanuska-Susitna borough alone designated as state coal leases, covering about 54 square miles. Yet the borough has no control over the development, or the aftermath of development for that matter. And that fact has a lot of Matsu residents on edge. Hanging on to the back of an all-terrain vehicle with one hand while holding a microphone with the other is a juggling act. We're heading up a rutted, ice-covered dirt track to a rustic homestead perched on a ridge overlooking King Mountain near Chickaloon Village. From up top, the cabin that Lisa and Ben Stevenson call home teeters at the very edge of the overhang. Its dining area jutting like a ship's prow seemingly into the air above the tips of spruce and cottonwoods that cover the slope below.
When they started flying in June and they flew into the middle of July, my laying hens quit. They quit laying because of the impacts. So they didn't start again. They didn't start again for more than 2 months. So if there's that kind of impacts at my farm, there has to be impacts to all of the wild animals that are living around us.
Those are guineas. Can you close the door behind me?
Lisa Stevenson is owner and manager of Lunachick Farm. She's got chickens aplenty and goats galore and has carved out a pretty good local business providing eggs, cheese, and goat meat to regular customers. But now an intruder is disrupting this seemingly ideal lifestyle.
They have $20 million to spend here, and they're spending it fast. They moved right in. They're not letting any time delay. They've gone right to work drilling. There's people around all the time. You can hear the machines. You can see the people going by. There were gravel trucks going downhill empty at 40 miles an hour across our driveway.
They is Riversdale, Alaska, an Australian-owned company that has secured a 2-year exploration permit from the state to explore for coal on almost 10,000 acres just uphill from the village of Chickaloon. The lease, awarded by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Lands Office in June of this year, is on land owned by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority.
And it did not ever occur to me that the Mental Health Trust could lease all the land around our community. I mean, the leases go from Chickaloon, from right here, from this property, all the way to Castle Mountain, all the way to Chickaloon River, all the way to King River, and across King River.
Her land is surrounded on three sides by the coal lease.
I feel like I'm being chased from my home. I desperately love the land here. I'm going to leave at least until they make their decision whether they're going to mine. We're only 4 months into exploration now, and it kills me every day to hear it. I can't bear to go up and see it. I haven't gone up to see it. No, and we've worked hard. We waited 10 years to start a family here. And now we're going to uproot everything.
She says she won't sell the land, though. Worry about property values tops the list of complaints against coal development in the Matsu, followed by health concerns regarding coal dust's effects on young children and the elderly. Water quality and the deterioration of salmon habitat are high on the list, too. Tim Leach is the conservation director with the citizens activist group Envision Matsu.
So many residents around this valley and around Susitna Valley, too, are in that same position. We don't want to have a coal strip mine going in next door to us or even nearby. And for people, as we've heard, throughout the core area, out towards Wasilla, through Wasilla and down Connect Goose Bay, they would not like to see large coal trucks coming down, 50-ton coal trucks, double haulers coming down their roads. It's already congested out there.
Leach's group has worked to heighten awareness of the impending coal development in the borough, knocking on doors with surveys, although he says the borough assembly is welcoming the new interest in local coal. Like Lisa Stevenson, Leach has a home bordering on another potential coal strip mine, this one at Wishbone Hill near Palmer, about 20 miles or so down the road from Chickaloon. The catalyst for the new coal rush in the bucolic Matanuska Valley lies worlds away. Emerging economies in Asia are demanding fuel for factories and for power generation. India, with over a billion people, faces blackouts like the one this summer that put 700 million Indians in the dark. Mike Belowich is a coal geologist with Alaska Earth Sciences, which provides consulting and planning services for Riversdale and other mining outfits. Belowich says the price for export coal is driven by Australia, the largest exporter, and fluctuates according to demand.
Taiwan needs it, and South Korea needs it, and China needs it, and India needs it. So depending on how much those countries need, it depends what the price goes up or down.
Belowich says the coal at Chicoloon is coking coal, which provides high heat with low sulfur and phosphorus emissions, the coal most desirable for making steel. Wishbone Hill coal, he says, is thermal coal, the kind in demand for stoking power generation facilities. Riversdale is after the coking coal, now being gobbled up by global markets.
China is still going to build power plants, and so is Russia. And it would seem logical, at least to us, that if we can help clean up their emissions, the less that stuff would come over here. The sulfur content of our coals are just astronomically low compared to the rest of the world. If you could lower that sulfur content on the other power plants, it would be better for Alaska. So mining Alaskan coal and shipping its low sulfur over there, and less stuff comes in our direction.
Belowich says much of Mat-Su coal is accessible by road, and that makes development even more attractive. Balancing the economy and the environment of the predominantly rural Matanuska Valley is no easy task. It's the fastest growing area in the state, and indications are that it will have a population of more than 117,000 people by 2020, up from about 91,000 last year. Mat-Su Borough Mayor Larry DeVilbiss is a carrot farmer and beef rancher, but he's not opposed to coal mining in the area.
You know, I can't speak for the whole borough, but I just came through an election cycle where coal was front and center, and the people I talked to and ran into, for the most part, were very supportive of responsible development of our resources.
DeVilbiss, along with most of the borough assembly, welcomes the coal exploration.
It's a rich part of our heritage, and it could and should be a rich part of our future. On the global market, our coal brings a quality and a smaller carbon footprint than a lot of the coal that's being used today.
True, the U.S. Navy held coal leases in the Mat Valley in the early 20th century, when diesel replaced coal as fuel for its ships, coal mining in Sutton and Chicoloon stopped, and the communities dried up.
Look what happened in the Sutton area. When the coal industry crashed, the economy crashed, your downturn in the property values came about when the coal went away, not when it was there.
The coal projects at Chicoloon and Wishbone Hill could provide local jobs, he says, although there is no formal agreement with the borough on this point.
There's nothing in the nature of those jobs that would justify bringing outside help in. We have at least two institutes here that are training heavy equipment operators. I would think it would be economic stupidity for them to do anything else.
The borough has allowed Wishbone Hill developer, Alaska's Usabelli Coal Company, a right-of-way across borough land to access its coal leases and has approved a resolution in favor of the mine. Tim Leach says the borough is not looking at the whole picture of development.
It seems to be that there is a strong opinion in the majority of the assembly members, at least, that coal development will be a positive thing for our community, for our borough. And that, I believe, is an opinion that is not necessarily based in fact. What they have tended to look at is just what's the job creation potential of any of these particular projects. You need to include other types of information, and some of those would be the impacts from a coal development project on other types of job creators.
Leach cites an economic report released this fall that indicates Mat-Su job growth is strong in many areas, specifically in healthcare, hospitality, and in government jobs. The report indicates a little more than half of Mat-Su residents work in the Valley. Leach and Lisa Stevenson have only one sympathetic ear on the assembly. Warren Keough represents their assembly district. He's got a home in Chickaloon as well, and it borders on the Riversdale leases.
So I have 60 acres at the end of the road, and I do have a common boundary with the Mental Health Trust lands, all of which are now leased to to Riversdale. And so my on the other side of my garden, that's the property line, and that's the boundary of the coal lease area.
Keough has brought a number of actions before the Borough Assembly, urging the body to take a critical look at the social and health impacts of coal strip mining. All have been voted down. The most recent one, asking the Assembly for a resolution backing a request for the state to do a comprehensive health study of coal's effects, failed 4-3. Keough says the borough is looking at jobs, but should be looking at fish and water quality, for instance. Mat-Su's sport fishing and related tourism income is in the millions, up to $163 million annually, according to a UAA Institute for Social and Economic Research report based on 2007 data.
What's the place that you want to leave as a legacy for your kids or your grandkids? See what we have now and see what we may have in the future. Roll into that imagining what our valley will look like if we have this growing number of open pit coal mines. We ought to have some clear understanding, if we go that way, what the impacts will be.
Riversdale representatives have done extensive public outreach at Chickaloon Community Council meetings, providing information about the project and seeking input from local residents on environmental mitigation programs to counter environmental disruption. Lisa Stevenson says that hasn't helped much.
It's really divided our community. I mean, we were divided before, but this has really raised things to a scream. You don't want to go down there without armor now. People are screaming and there's so much angst. It sucks your soul out to go.
In a project information paper Riversdale released in June, the company praised Chickaloon's high-quality coal, the area's proximity to a port, even citing the short 12-day trip by sea from Port McKenzie to Japan. And Riversdale laid out its intent to expedite exploration and data gathering in the shortest possible time in order to make a decision on development by 2016. Meanwhile, down the highway closer to Palmer, a similar tale is playing out. A rift over coal development divides people who are living side by side but are light years apart on the issue. Buffalo Mine Road winds snake-like in tight hairpin curves uphill along a creek lined thick with evergreens and willows. Karen Hopp lives several miles up Buffalo Mine Road. She built a house and a horse barn on her property 9 years ago.
The mountains are so beautiful, the hiking is so beautiful, you know, and my main reason to live in the north at all is for skiing. I'm a cross-country skier, and to me, snow and trails make the community.
But 3 years ago, when plans were announced that Usabelli Coal was about to begin exploration on coal leases at the end of the road, Hop's dream began to unravel. She says DNR officials just showed up with a decision already made.
I live so close to the mine, the noise is going to disrupt my lifestyle 24 hours a day. I will not be able to get away from the noise. I will never be able to get rid of the dust. The wind comes directly from the east and hits my house. This area here, this neighborhood, is going to gather it all, and it's going to filter right down on everybody downhill from me.
Wishbone Hill, Usabelli's exploration project in the Mat Valley, is located in an area that has a long tradition of coal mining. But the pit mines went bust before World War II, and the only vestiges left of the old mining days are museum photos, rusting machinery lying here and there, and coal fires still burning underground. Usabelli's Wishbone Hill exploration permits are active, but their actual mining permit is in question due to litigation. The company has shut down exploration operations there until next year.
But coal dust is toxic. And no one can dispute that fact. I mean, Usabelli shouldn't get their air permit unless they vacate whatever the safety zone is and someone's come up with a safety zone. Where is that coal dust going to land? that zone is not a safe place to live. It's going to land here. It's going to land further than here.
If the Wishbone Hill mine becomes a reality, plans are to truck coal out to the Glen Highway and haul it to the borough's Port McKenzie for shipment overseas. Company representatives say all the Wishbone Hill coal is marked for export, and that Wishbone Hill could provide 75 local jobs. But coal development poses two big problems: access to the coal and a means of getting mined coal to market. It's the latter point that has the Chickaloon Village Tribal Council at odds with Usabelli. The native village of Chickaloon is some miles north up the highway from Sutton, but the Chickaloon tribe runs an elementary school that is located closer to Palmer. The access road Usabelli has built to the mine site joins the highway 1/4 mile from the tribe's Yaneda'a school. Earlier this year, the state issued a rapid health report on Wishbone Hill's human health impacts. Lisa Wade is the tribe's health and social services director. She says tribal officials are worried about the health aspects of coal dust on children.
They actually consider our tribal school to be in Zone 2, which is a lesser impact area. However, it's directly across the street and should be considered in the high-risk area. So that's just one aspect that we found. There were several more. And one of the most significant ones, of course, is just the lack of tribal input that we noticed. There was no traditional knowledge from our elders. Their words were not taken into consideration in the report at all.
The Chickaloon tribe is also worried about the potential impacts of mining on nearby Moose Creek, a salmon stream which a tribal environmental program restored to health. Chickaloon Traditional Council Secretary Penny Westing says it's been a costly but successful project.
We just got the fish back in Moose Creek, and now they want to open the coal mine back up at Wishbone, and they're putting a road right down here, right by our school. Our children have issues with that because they're afraid of what's going to happen to them, what's going to happen to their school. We have issues about the increased traffic load on the highways and people coming to drop their children off, and when they come to pick them up, how that coal trucks are going to impact that, the dangers of that.
But Borough Mayor DeVilbiss holds another viewpoint.
There's a paved road almost to the site, but the community was so upset that there were going to be coal trucks on it that Usabelli went 4 miles out of their way to build a new road just for their mine product.
Coal trucks headed for Port McKenzie would have to travel through Palmer, then through downtown Wasilla to reach congested Knik Goose Bay Road. DeVilbiss says that route could change if more coal resources were developed.
Wishbone alone would not justify this, but we already have a rail bed to Sutton, and so we do have on record a resolution encouraging the railroad to upgrade the existing track into Palmer. There's the possibility that if 3 or 4 of these leases up in the Sutton-Chickaloon area actually get into production, there's the possibility of utilizing that old rail bed that still belongs to the railroad.
DeVilbiss says the borough is looking ahead to road improvements to meet the potential of coal hauling trucks.
Already we have the links necessary to avoid hauling any coal through Palmer by trucks. The new trunk road extension is going to make it almost certain that the trucks from Wishbone would be going down Trunk Road instead of Palmer.
Coal mining is regulated and taxed by the state under a set of federal regulations called the Surface Mining Control and Reclamation Act, or SMCRA. Regulations for coal mining are distinct from other types of mining. The U.S. Congress passed SMCRA in 1977 due to environmental impacts from coal mining in the lower 48. SMCRA restructured the way coal mining was regulated while increasing environmental protections. SMCRA allows states to develop coal regulatory programs consistent with the federal mandates, and Alaska has assumed primacy over the federal program since 1983, when the Alaska Surface Coal Mining Control and Reclamation Act was passed. Ed Fogels is Deputy Commissioner of the State Department of Natural Resources.
Our task is essentially twofold for coal, and that is to comply with the Constitution and make sure that we can make coal available for leasing in a good way. And then the second part of our job is to make sure that if mining does occur, that it complies with environmental regulations.
DNR's Land, Mining, and Water Division implements Alaska's coal regulations from exploration to reclamation on all federal, state, and Alaska Mental Health Trust lands. The Mental Health Trust owns the subsurface rights on its lands and gains the royalties on coal mining on its lands as well. The money goes to fund mental health and drug abuse and rehabilitation programs throughout the state. Mine developers must put up a bond to cover land reclamation during the lifetime of the mine.
The laws and the regulations that govern modern coal mining are incredibly strict, and they are very, very, very strong on reclamation. And the miner has to put the coal, the ground back to approximate original contour. It can't be exactly the same. There's no way you could do an activity such as coal mining and recreate the terrain perfectly the way it was. But it has to approach approximate original contour. The water has to be protected, and the company has to put up some kind of financial security before they start mining that would ensure that the state can step in and do that reclamation if the company should go bankrupt before it can complete its reclamation.
In the case of the Chicoloon leases, Riversdale has bonded $89,000 for the 2 years of its exploration permit. That's to reclaim the health of the land from the scars of exploration. Borough Assemblyman Kehoe says there ought to be more money spent on human health aspects of coal development. At a recent Borough Assembly work session on legislative funding requests, Kehoe asked for $250,000 for a comprehensive study on human health and social impacts of widespread coal mining.
And I find it a little ironic. On one hand, we're asking for over $90 million for further improvements to the port. We're asking for another $126 million to complete the rail line extension project. But during that meeting, I requested, let's have $250,000 set aside so we can have a clear understanding of the impacts of coal development in the borough. The city of Houston has asked for a similar impact assessment because of the impacts of the rail line extension and roads and all the changes that will accompany this big change in transportation infrastructure. So I find it ironic that it's on one end of the equation we're willing to ask for over $200 million for infrastructure improvements, but we don't have any clear understanding of what those impacts might be, and we're not willing to even ask the legislature to fund such a study.
An ICER report on the impacts of Wishbone Hill coal mining was not conclusive on the issue of property value drops or gains in the wake of coal development. Ed Fogles says residential property values could go up or down.
The SMACRA rules, they contain a lot of provisions that will help us mitigate impacts on adjacent property owners. Keep in mind that the rules were designed with primarily East Coast coal mining in mind, and back there, I mean, this kind of situation has been very, very common back there. And in Alaska here, we're really facing it for the first time in the Mat-Su Valley area. The other way to look at this is where do we encourage residential development, and should you be encouraging it close to active coal leases? From our perspective, we have a company that has a property right in a coal lease that's been there for a long time, and we can't just take that away from them for no reason.
I want to encourage the folks living near Squatnet to talk to the folks who live in Beluga, who are challenged by the promises of the Department of Natural Resources. The DNR is poised to permit a particular Chewitna mine to remove 11 miles of salmon spawning habitat.
In November, DNR officials hosted a public meeting in Anchorage, this one to determine a pending state's best interest finding for a coal lease near Squatna. Bill Cole with DNR's Mining, Land, and Water Division.
When we initiate something like this, we go to agency review. That is, we contact other state agencies like Department of Environmental Conservation, and we write a preliminary best interest finding and decision. We will go back and consider all of the comments that we've received. Those will be considered and responded to in a final decision when it's released, is appealable.
Cole says that the best interest finding and the potential 13,000-acre Canyon Creek coal lease was prompted by a request from Alaska Energy Company, which is working with the Canadian mining company Can-Am. The Mat-Su Borough did not have a representative at that meeting. Only one couple from Skwentna was present. About 50 people turned up for the meeting. All those who gave comments were opposed to the idea of mining in that region.
The Iditarod, and they want to see the last great race. They don't want to see the last new coal mine. I think it'll hurt tourism, and I don't think it's in the benefit of Alaska.
Since then, DNR has extended the comment deadline on the Skwentna coal issue and plans a public hearing in Skwentna later this month. A decision on a Canyon Creek coal lease is pending. DNR's Ed Fogle says it may be some years away.
The next possible mine that might operate could be the Wishbone Hill project or the Chewitna project.
The remote Canyon Creek lease area is devoid of infrastructure of any kind. Although the state's preliminary best interest finding for the Canyon Creek coal lease indicates that Skwentna coal could be loaded onto ships at Ladd Landing on the west side of Cook Inlet. About 50 miles away from the coal, should a road be constructed linking the two sites. Ladd Landing would be the preferred shipping point for Chewitna coal, too, if that mine is developed. At present, there is nothing in the Matanuska-Susitna Borough Comprehensive Plan covering coal development in Skwentna or anywhere else in the borough. Mat-Su's comprehensive plan was written in 1970 and amended more recently. Asked if the borough could benefit directly from coal development by taxing developers, Mayor DeVilbiss answered,
"I'm sure the borough could. We could tax gravel. It's within our power. That's one of the few powers we do have."
The borough code promotes the utilization of the area's natural resources while protecting the health and welfare of its residents. DeVilbiss says he's not defending coal, but is trying to use the resources that are under the borough's feet.
See, my philosophy on resource development is that we should be using our non-renewable resources to create and enhance renewable resource development. So, if in the reclamation process they were to put 2 or 3 feet of topsoil on there so we could grow carrots and potatoes, that would be a classic appropriate use of one resource to the benefit of another.
So it could come full circle, but that circle won't close for many years. Most recently, DNR has received a request from Colorado-based Ranger for an exploration permit for the Jonesville coal leases 2 miles from Sutton. Ranger Alaska, through Alaska Earth Sciences, has requested a lease covering close to 1,500 acres. Like the Chewitna and Chickaloon lease areas, Jonesville's subsurface estate is owned by the Mental Health Trust Authority. A deadline for comments on the Jonesville lease has passed, and a decision is pending. That decision may come too late for Lisa Stevenson. She says she'd like to see the state legislature get involved in making some changes.
You know, what really needs to happen is the legislature needs to change the mission of the Alaska Mental Health Trust. They have to operate with ethics. It's so wrong for them to come in and run over community after community after community and say that we don't have to care what it does to your community. All we have to care about is money. That's wrong.
Greg Jones, executive director of the Mental Health Lands Trust Office, says a decision on a coal lease demands concurrence between the surface and subsurface estate owners. In the Chickaloon leases case, the trust owns the subsurface rights, but the state owns the land. You have to deal with the surface owner to get to the rights to the coal, he says. For a closer look, I'm Ellen Lockyer.
You've been listening to A Closer Look on KSKA, a production of APTI News and Public Media. An archived copy of today's program will be available on our website at alaskapublic.org. This is KSKA. Thanks for listening.